everybody. This is Brother John Rothacker. It's good to be with you once again on Truth for Today. We're talking about tithing, and we've shared about a number of things from the Scripture. It means a tenth, giving 10%. And we saw in Hebrews 6 about Abraham paying tithes before the law, and then the Levitical priesthood, the Levites, were commanded to take a tithe from the people to support the gospel. We also saw some scriptures where, besides tithing to support the men of God, you have offerings and alms giving. We looked at some scriptures on alms giving of Jesus in 1 Corinthians 16. We're in right now 1 Corinthians 9. I just want to look at a couple other things there and then go back to some specific scriptures on tithing. Here he's saying that he, as an apostle, he and Barnabas had a right to refrain from working, but at this time they didn't. But that it's a principle in God that the men of God, and he's using the apostles as the example, of not working with their hands, but being able to work full-time for the Lord so that the people are going to be the ones supporting them. And he's using this in nature, or in the natural realm. For instance, he says that when you have an army and a soldier goes to work, he doesn't do it as an own expense, but he's supplied by the government of the peoples that he's fighting for. And same way with a farmer, he plants a vineyard, he hopes to get some of the fruit of it, or a shepherd hopes to be able to he deserves some of the milk of the flock that he's taking care of. And he even uses then the law, the Old Testament under Moses, to teach this same thing about not muzzling the ox while it is threshing out the grain. That was not allowed under the law. He was able to eat that which he needed for to be hungry, because the ox would be hungry. And he's saying that this is written for our sakes, not for the ox's sake, but it's written for our sake. Now let's continue on there. Is he speaking altogether for your sake? He just got through quoting the scripture, "You shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing." He says, yes, for our sakes it was written, because the plowman ought to plow in hope and the thresher to thresh in hope of sharing the crops. If we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much if we should reap material things from you? If others share the right over you, do we not more? Nevertheless, we did not use this right, but we endure all things that we may cause no hindrance to the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who perform sacred services eat the food of the temple, and those who attend regularly to the altar have their share with the altar? So also the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. Now this is the principle he said Jesus has ordained. Let me read it again. So also the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. Now notice, as an apostle, when he went out to the Corinthians, we read about to the Philippians, he received money from them up in the northern part of Greece. But when he went down to the southern part and preached, as an outreach to further spread the gospel, he didn't take anything from them. Notice what he says. He's got this right, but he says, but I've used none of these things. In other words, he didn't take offerings from them. Okay. He says, I've used none of these things, and I'm not writing these things that it may be done so in my case, for it would be better for me to die than to have any man make my boast an empty one. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion, for woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Here he's saying he had a right to take finances from them, but God had commissioned him to preach the gospel, and he was going out under this obligation from the Lord himself, and he was not going to use his rights fully in order to even help more people to believe. Now this needs to be a spirit that we need to see in more people today not using their rights to the fullest in order to benefit other people. This is why we don't take offerings and make a big to-do about it, so as to not offend people. This is why you don't hear me taking offerings. And what's worse, of course, which isn't scriptural at all, it's scriptural to take an offering, but it's not scriptural to beg and go through some of the things that people go through to get money. Paul warns about this elsewhere. Those that would take advantage of an immature Christian, those that don't fully understand giving and receiving and tithing and who they should support and how they should support them and so forth. These kind of people can be easily taken advantage of. And he talks about this, for instance, in 2 Corinthians, his next letter to them in the 11th chapter, when he says this, "For if ye suffer it, ye permit it." And that's a little difficult word for some of you. Maybe I'll stay with my New American Standard here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 20. "For you bear with anyone if he enslaves you, if he devours you, if he takes advantage of you, if he exalts himself, if he hits you in the face. To my shame, I must say that we have been weak by comparison. But in whatsoever respect anyone else is bold, I speak in foolishness, I am just as bold myself." And then he gives some qualifications of him being in the ministry, and I won't go over it all, but you want to read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the qualifications there of a minister. Also, he gives some qualifications in the 6th chapter. I encourage you to write this down and study it, because he talks about comparing himself with what he had called previously false apostles, and he talks about his suffering and all his labor, being beaten for the gospel, going hungry, going among false brethren, being shipwrecked. All the tremendous things that he suffered there were proof of the validity of him being a true man of God. So you want to read that. Okay, so we see this principle then in the scripture that those which preach the gospel should live with the gospel. Now let us go back to tithing. We want to pick out a point on this or two further. And let's go back to some scriptures in Malachi where Paul... where God speaks in this last book of the Old Testament. He gives us some interesting insights on tithing, which is one type of giving, the support for the men of God. And he says this. These were to religious people who were very religious, went to synagogue, church regularly. But he says this to him, "I am the Lord, and I do not change. Therefore, O you sons of Jacob," that's why you're not consumed, "from the days of your father, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return?" Now, he's saying they're not serving him. They've left him. And they don't understand how they've left him. And this is how he's going to tell them how they've left serving the true and the living God. "Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed thee? In tithes and contributions," or in King James, "tithes and offerings." This is not almsgiving to the poor. This is giving to God, for the support of the gospel, for the support of the work of God. "In tithes and contributions, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until there is no more need. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it may not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Now, you see, he's telling these people that they were under a curse. They were suffering all kinds of problems in the natural, because they hadn't been sowing in the spiritual. Now, that's the same principle we see Paul using exactly when he wrote to the Corinthians, when he says, if we have sown you spiritual things, is it wrong if we would receive your carnal things? Now, if you don't do that, you see, then you suffer. I'm going to leave for a moment this in Malachi and pick it up again in the New Testament, the same principle. And we'll find this time in Galatians, the last chapter. So go to Galatians 6, if you will, and we want to show this to you. Same principle in Malachi, the last chapter, is in Galatians 6. And he says this, verse 6, let the one who has taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, you see, he's teaching the same principle that the prophet Malachi taught, that you reap what you sow. He says, if you don't give to those that are teaching you the Word of God and those that are sharing the things of God, then you're sowing to your flesh and you're going to reap corruption, ultimate judgment, and ultimate hell. But if you're giving because you appreciate what God is giving to you and has given to you in Jesus Christ, then you're going to reap eternal life. He's equating it with corruption versus eternal life. And he's saying, of course, you must be patient, because sometimes when you sow, you're not going to reap the same day that you sow a seed. That's the same way in the natural. But you will reap in due season, he said, if you don't faint. But he's saying here, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Now, that's the same thing you see Malachi is teaching. So let's go back for a moment again in Malachi 3, where I read these scriptures. And he says, bring the tithe, the whole tithe, into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. Now, this is commonly misinterpreted and misunderstood and twisted. What's the storehouse? Well, you go back into the Old Testament, and you'll find that the people of God were a nation. They had cities. It was the land of Israel. And this is why the Old Testament law is written as for civil law, the New Testament written for spiritual laws for just the people of God, because they're going to be dispersed throughout and among many peoples throughout the world. But here each city had its city of elders. They were rulers over the city. And when in the New Testament, when elders are appointed, we see them called elders of the city, ordained elders in every city, or ordained elders in every church. It's synonymous, because the church, scripturally, is the body of Christ. It's not a congregation. This is a common heresy taught today, but it has no substantiation in the Word of God. A church, New Testament church, is the body of Christ, and it's identified by the location. In other words, the seven churches of Revelation were seven cities in Asia. We see the church in Rome, the church in Corinth. These are cities. Now, when it writes to the churches of Galatia, plural, it's plural because Galatia was an area, say like Ohio. The churches of Ohio would be what? Well, he went to Philippi, first the capital, be the church of Columbus, then being the capital, and then would spread out in the church of Cincinnati and church of Cleveland and Toledo, and then all the other little ones would get the gospel being spread out, and you get into Gahanna and Westerville and Worthington and all the little suburbs. But the church is the body of Christ. The elders were the elders to the city, and they are made up of different types of ministries. Peter wrote to the elders in 1 Peter 5, and he talked about, gave him some instruction. He says, I being also an elder. We know he was an apostle, but you see, he was one helping to rule over the local city where he was at in Jerusalem. He was an elder. Elders could be apostles, they could be prophets, evangelists, pastors, or teachers. Now, we want to look at that for a moment in Ephesians 4. But first, let's look at this storehouse. Remember, the storehouse was the place where they brought in the sustenance for the whole city. It wasn't for one man. It wasn't for just one type of leadership. But it's for everyone operating out of that city. This is important because if you don't see the church as it is scripturally, if people twist it and make it a congregation, they'll tell you all your money needs to be brought in here to our little storehouse, which is only part of what God is doing in the city. That's wresting the Word of God. It's usually done for selfish reasons. Some people don't understand it, some men of God, but they don't investigate it because it's not to their advantage. But nevertheless, the storehouse is the body of Christ. If you put it in New Testament terms, here it was all the people of God in a city. We are now the city of God, the body of Christ. So let's go back into Ephesians 4 now and look what types of ministries God gives. It's spoken of here in the Lord Jesus after he ascended up on high. This was after the resurrection. These are not the apostles before, the 12 apostles. But this is after the resurrection. It says he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Now, what was the purpose? For the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Now, how do you build up the body? Well, you build it up two ways. You build it up qualitatively and quantitatively. First, you extend the kingdom and get more people in, and then those that are in, you build up so that they are built up, as it goes on to say here in love, and come into maturity. Now, he's given five types of ministries, he says, for this purpose. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So you see, the tithe, to put it in New Testament terms then, does not go just to pastors. That's a common heresy taught among pastors, particularly it's tragic out on the mission field. But it goes on everywhere, and it goes on here, that the tithe was given originally to the priest of the city, Melchizedek. Then under the law, it was brought to the Levitical priesthood. These were the men of God that were responsible for the teaching and also went out into the highways and byways and taught the Word of God. They traveled throughout Jerusalem. In New Testament terminology, it would be the fivefold ministry given here. Now notice, not only some of them, like pastors, are going to be feeding the flock locally, as sometimes the apostles and prophets do coming through, but some of them are totally outreach, like evangelists. An evangelist does not preach the gospel to someone who's already received it, basically. Now, we see that word perverted today, and people sometimes in some carnal church structures are called evangelists if they preach to the people, or called evangelists if they're traveling, and anybody that doesn't traveling is called a pastor, but that's not the way it is in the New Testament. We have five different types of ministry. Apostles are ones sent out. They can be ministering to the churches, as Paul did and Peter. He wrote these letters. But they also are going out and spreading the gospel to other people. But they're doing a little more than the evangelist in that they not only preach the gospel and see people converted, but they then establish them in the faith. Now, prophets can be traveling. We see that in the scriptures. Teachers can be traveling. So many of these ministries, you see, are traveling ministries. In fact, four out of the five are outreach. That's how you extend the body of Christ. So you see, if we're going to get proper extension, we must support all the men of God. Now what happens usually when you only give your tithe to pastors, they use it for themselves only. A few people they might have in occasionally, and then build big buildings, and when they get too big, they're like the person Jesus warned about. Their barns are full. They said, let us tear down our barns and build bigger ones. But they're not using it properly, because in the scriptures, tithes went to the men of God, most of which were outreach ministries to spread the gospel. The tithe never went to build buildings. You'll never see it once in the New Testament. In fact, you don't even see them having church buildings with offerings, let alone with the tithe. The tithe went to the men of God to spread the gospel. When the temple was built, buildings, it was taken by offerings, not tithes. These were the offerings given by God's people. It was not the alms, the poor for the poor. It was not the tithes for the men of God. It was offerings. So we see these three different types of giving. Now, we need to see that clearly, beloved, because there's a lot of mismanagement and misuse of funds today, and Paul warned about to the Corinthians that you better take heed how you build. If you're not building properly, according to these scriptures, you're building a lot of wood, hay, and stubble. In our day, maybe we could call it brick and stained glass, but it's a lot of building that's going to go up in judgment, and you're not going to get any credit for it. You're not going to get any eternal value. Your tithe, you ought to make sure that it's going to men of God, that a proportion is going to those that feed you, as the scripture's teaching. We read in Galatians, those that are teaching you, and a portion is being given to those that are reaching out and teaching others, like Paul when he went to the Corinthians. He didn't take anything from them, but he did receive from the Philippians, those that he had established. Preach the gospel to prior to that time. Now this is what you need to be see being done. Now another thing, we're not going to have time to go into it in detail, but I'll give you some scriptures to read. And these are scriptures in Acts chapter 2 and chapter 4, because we get into a fourth type of giving of sometimes called seed faith, or people selling. We find their abundance, selling their homes and so forth, and bringing it and laying it at the apostles' feet for a further distribution among the people of God, so that nobody was lacking. This was for their material needs. And this is something that we need to see and understand, but we'll do another program on that. Read that in Acts 2 and Acts 4. So we see these maybe four types of giving here. But there's the principle of giving unto God and God supplying your need. This we saw with giving to meet the poor's need. This was over and above the tithe. Offerings like given to build the temple, which were physical structures for the purpose of the work of God, but now we're told in the New Testament, we are the temple of God. This is why you don't see them building material temples. We The Christians are where God lives, and he calls us corporately the temple of God. Now let's go back for a moment, maybe, since this is primarily I felt led to talk about the tithe in Malachi chapter 3. Go over a couple things again. First of all, they left God and didn't even know it. Why? Because they were robbing him of the tithe. We want to bring out the scripture says the tithe is the Lord's. First of all, it's the Lord's, it's not yours. Second, it was the first 10%, not the second, third, or last. If people try to give their last 10%, they'll often not have it. They always have the first 10%. That's what God wants, the first fruits, the first offerings. And he says, if you don't give this giving, you're cursed with a curse. You're robbing God. And the only way you can get out from under it is to start giving to God what rightfully belongs to him for the purpose of putting food in his house. That it means feeding Christians, the men of God that feed Christians, and to enlarge the house, as we saw, to extend the house and make sure there's food in the extended house so that you can see people saved and them nurtured in the things of God. And he says, if you doubt all this, prove him. I've known a number of men that have proved him. I've proved him through the years. And let me just give a little testimony of a brother that I led to the Lord many years ago. After God taught him about tithing, he was saved for a while. He started giving to God. God spoke to him to prove him that he would pour out a blessing that he would not be able to contain. He says, to pour you out a blessing till there's no more need. He did it. One day he looked around at his labor, at his work, and he didn't have place to put all the merchandise of his business. It was prospering so much, and God reminded him how he'd been tithing to the Lord's servants. Now, I can remember my own case. When I learned to tithe, I gave 10% for many years. Gave it to people extending the gospel, not only people that were supporting me, but outreach ministries. And when I gave a flat 10%, that's what God gave back to me when I was learning to live by faith. If I got $10, I'd give a dollar. If I got $11, I'd give a dollar 10 cents. He met my need to the penny. Later on, I started being more generous with God. Instead of a dollar 10, I'd up it to the next dollar, give $2 on $11. I found more money in my pocket. He was more generous with me. I did that for several years and proved him that way. And then later I started giving by, you might say, seed faith. I would start giving first, and I found myself with even more money. Now, God was in all these principles. It goes with the truth of Jesus where he says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and giving over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure you measured others, it's going to be measured back to you. How do you want the measure coming back to you? Then determine in your heart that's the way you're going to measure to others. It's that simple. You cannot break the laws of God. It'll break you if you do try to break them. But they stay sure. You can violate God. You can rob God. But his law is not going to be broken. You're the one that's going to end up being broken. Let me encourage you to prove God. Test him if you're not sure of these things. And receive the blessings of God. God, help us, we pray. We thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your faithfulness. Bless each one, we pray, with wisdom and understanding and grace and knowledge and mercy and peace in Jesus' name. Amen. That's all the time we have. This is Brother John Rothacker. It's good to be with you once again.
And our address is John Rothacker Ministries, Box 3219, Columbus, Ohio, 43210. So until we meet again, have a good day in the Lord Jesus.